Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Hadas Kuznets with Chef Mike Scher and his partner Neil Santos. They have a restaurant called Lalo. It's at the Bourse, now open 7 days a week. And we are talking about, this is your post-Thanksgiving tips for what to do with all that leftover food. So What's Cooking podcast is the Filipino style.
Yes. Sure is.
So let's talk about Lalo, first of all. So, Chef, I noticed that you are a white man, but Neil, you are Filipino.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the collaboration before we get into the leftovers.
Right. So Lalo is many different things, but it stems from Filipino food, Filipino culture, Filipino tradition, and it's recipes that my partners Jill Risa and I have inherited over the years through our parents and our grandparents. So Lola is the name for grandmother, and Lolo is the name for grandfather. And when you combine those two, we kind of made Lalo, which is our own little beast in and of itself. And when we partnered with Chef Mike, it really was a great collaboration in that we are able to hone our palates, all three of us, in ways that connect to the Filipino-American experience. So flavor profiles like really pungent fermented shrimp or really strong garlic, peppercorn, bay leaf, vinegar, things like that really translate well to American approaches and American ways of cooking. And it also really kind of creates its own story. So it's a lot of that.
So you're used to the Filipino tastes and you needed someone to be like, this is what the masses will like.
Yes.
Pretty much. Partly, how to appeal to the masses and also how to streamline it for a fast casual setting that we have at the Bourse. And also it's an educational process for me too, to, you know, learn all the food but to add my expertise to make it available all day.
And then it goes back to Neil because it's got to pass the grandma test.
Yeah, and it certainly does. And in a way that, you know, a lot of our families have come to the restaurant and have commended Mike's work with, you know, our escaldo, our chicken and hijao. And it's really staying true to the recipes and really staying true and relying on tradition to kind of carry the concept home. So despite the fact that we are of different cultures, we really come together as a family. And I think that's the most important part of Filipino cooking in general.
What would you say are the most important flavors in Filipino food?
Oh. Can I? for my experience, fish sauce and garlic. They are very, very important. Other than that, you know, fermented shrimp paste is a big ingredient and really earthy flavors.
Yeah. You're buying that shrimp. Fermented shrimp paste in bulk, aren't you?
Yeah.
That much. All right. Right. So everybody's eating Thanksgiving. They're full of turkey and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie and apple pie and stuffing and all the good stuff. And you've got a whole bunch of leftovers. What are you going to do with it?
All right. Well, we have a few suggestions. Some things that touch base on some items that we have on our menu right now and some things that are just kind of off the wall. The first thing that I would recommend with leftover turkey is a dish called arroz caldo, which we actually have on the menu right now. Normally, it's a chicken rice porridge, similar to a congee, but we would do it with turkey. So I would take some leftover turkey, chop it up so that it's in nice, manageable, bite-sized pieces.
Like diced?
Yeah, like cubes. But really, it's your preference, just so as long as it's not a whole turkey. And in a pot, you would start out with some chicken stock, or if you have turkey stock, that would be amazing. Chicken stock or turkey stock, a few quarts, and add just a cup of rice or so, and let that cook until it's overcooked rice, and it basically just becomes like a soupy porridge.
So you start with raw rice.
Raw rice, yeah. If you have cooked rice, it'll happen way faster. But we usually start it from raw.
Okay.
From there, once it reaches the consistency that you like as a porridge, more like a thin stew, a thick soup, I would add the turkey, the chopped turkey, and season with a few cloves of minced garlic, a few tablespoons of minced ginger, and the finishing touches on this dish, which are very important for the flavor to make it Filipino, are a lot of black pepper, fish sauce, a good squeeze of lime, which we use instead of calamansi, which is the Filipino native citrus. Lime is the thing that we use to kind of most mimic that or best mimic that. And just finish with a little bit of chili oil and cilantro. You really want the ginger and the fish sauce to come through more than anything else. And then the lime helps just cut through all that richness a little bit.
So
at the end.
It's kind of like a Filipino take on turkey soup.
Sure. Just like a rice turkey soup. Yeah. But it's supposed to be like a little bit thicker than that. Yeah.
It's soupy. It's comforting. It's healing. I really kind of relate to this dish in a way that any type of chopped ginger and broth is like, it's a cure all, it's the holidays and you might be a little sick and, spend too much time with family perhaps. And you need to like kind of just deplete yourself of all of the toxicity that may have happened, and you just
emotionally
and
emotionally, physically.
This is one of those comfort foods that really like make you feel better.
Filipino chicken soup.
Filipino arroz caldo.
Yeah, I relate this to basically the equivalent of matzo ball soup. You know, it heals everything.
Yeah. Nice. And what can you not miss? What ingredients are super important?
All of the ginger, all of the garlic, all of the pepper and fish sauce, and then definitely finishing off with citrus of some kind. Calamansi you can get frozen from the Asian store, or just use any lime, really. It's hard to find real calamansi on the East Coast.
What does it look like?
It's a small little lime. When it ripens, it gets orange, but we eat it green, so it's a little – it's very small. It's about
– smaller than a lime. Yeah.
Smaller than a lime, and it's very time-consuming to harvest if you think about – all those little limes, but it's that flavor that really hits home when you think about just being able to taste what that is.
And the lime is close enough for
you? Lime is, it hits the note of brightening up something that is a little fishy, has lots of umami, but I personally really prefer the calamansi flavor. Yeah. I grow it personally, so I have it at my house. In the fall, you can kind of find little trees in the Asian store and kind of buy a few and just have some for when you really, really want to taste and feel like you're at home.
At home. Yeah,
exactly. So
that's a good idea to put citrus in the soup.
Yeah, it's a finisher. It's a nice little cuts the richness of the soup.
Definitely add it at the end. Otherwise, it'll be bitter.
It'll be lost.
Yeah. All right. What else you got?
Okay, so the next few recipes are all derived from whatever pie you have left over. I usually have, or my family usually has, pumpkin pie left over, but if you have apple pie, it'll do. I love making pumpkin pie milkshakes because it's so simple and it's great, and it's a little more exciting than just pie or just a milkshake. And it's really easy. I'm sure many people have tried it. The trick is just getting it the way that you like it. I take a slice of pumpkin pie, your average slice, a couple scoops of vanilla ice cream, and just a touch of milk, maybe like a quarter cup, and put it in a blender and blend it until you like it and stick a straw in it and enjoy.
So the pie will really, any kind of pie will, yeah. Or cake. Can you do cake too?
Interesting. I'm going to try that and I'll let you know.
You're going to be like, we got chocolate cake. Yeah. We got apple pie. We got blueberry pie.
Well, I have some friends that are obsessed with milkshakes and they'll tell you that anything will work for a milkshake.
I never thought about you doing a milkshake the next day with the pies.
Yeah. There's no restrictions. It's whatever you like.
How do you get it to a good consistency?
I like my milkshakes a little thicker. So the trick is not to overload with the milk. I usually start with just the pie and a couple scoops of ice cream, and then just thin out with milk until it's good. You know, don't add it all at the same time.
So the milk is just really a necessity.
Just,
have it
just
like
to get
a
there.
Creamy. Yeah. That's it. All right.
Then from there, we have a Filipino dessert called leche flan. It's basically a custard with a burnt caramel on top. We thought that it would be a good idea to take this milkshake that we have and mix it with all the ingredients to make this leche flan. You start that by just burning some sugar in a pan. So you put some sugar and a little bit of water in a pan and just cook it under medium low heat until all the water evaporates. And then you have this like caramel. Straight from the caramel, you put it into whatever you plan on serving this leche flan in, a glass pan, or usually we use like an aluminum tray. Line the bottom with that, let that cool. Then we take our milkshake. You mix that with a little bit of, with one can of sweetened condensed milk, one can of evaporated milk, 10 egg yolks, and just a touch of vanilla extract.
So are we mixing this in a bowl or in the blender?
I would do it in a blender.
Okay.
If you have one handy. If not, it's all kind of liquidy. You could do it with a whisk in a bowl.
Well, you just made the milkshake in the blender.
So. Exactly. So it's since you have it out.
Right.
Yeah. So it's you mix that all together. Wait for the sugar to cool so that you're not cooking the eggs when you pour it on top. Pour the your custard onto that and bake it off. Basically, you steam it in an oven for 10, 15 minutes, usually not even that long, 350 degrees, until you see that it stops jiggling. And you let it cool, and then you flip it out, and then you have this beautiful melted sugar top over this pudding-like custard that now tastes like pumpkin pie.
Because you've used your pumpkin pie for the milkshake.
Exactly.
That you've now turned into like a flan.
Yeah. Repurposing is the name of the game here.
That's very creative,
yeah.
Actually. Is that very Filipino?
It is very Filipino. It's very cultural anyway. It's making use of what you have.
What is that? What is that in the Philippines? What is that called?
Oh, it's just cooking.
Never throw anything away.
Yeah, never throw anything away. Never waste. Use what
hungry.
You have. So Filipino.
But I'm not from like that. The flan, the jiggly cakes are not very American, I would say.
No, so Filipino food is a mixture of different cultures. So you have, you know, pre-colonial times, you have lots of indigenous spice trading. So there's Mexican influence, there's Indian influence, there's Malaysian influence. You have Spanish colonial times, so a lot of Spanish influence as well. And then you have about 50-ish years of American colonialism. So we have, you know, fans of Mickey Mouse and things like that. So it's diverse in and of itself. Each dish kind of, you can pinpoint exactly where something came from. So leche flan is, you know, it is very Filipino, and it's also Spanish in origin. So it has, it's, that to me is what Filipino food is. It's celebrating diversity. So what we're doing now with Lalo, you know, Mike may not be perfectly Filipino, but the experiences we're sharing together in that kitchen, I think, really are a testament to.
It kind of represents the culture.
The culture. Yeah.
It's a very interesting way to flanify a milkshake.
Sure. <is. laughs>
Flanify a milkshake like that. I've never heard of making it into a cake.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have another pumpkin pie twist? Oh, alcohol, right?
We do.
Nice.
At the end of this weekend, you're probably looking for a cocktail in the same vein of repurposing as we have been doing with our pumpkin pie or apple pie or whatever you made your milkshake and flan out of. We can then go in a direction of making a nice cocktail, a classic daiquiri. I would just take some of this flan that you have, just a small square of it, you know, whatever you manage to not eat because it's so delicious, and put it in a shaker with 2 ounces of rum. Would recommend Appleton because it kind of pairs well with this. 3/4 of an ounce of lime juice and 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup. A little bit of ice and shake it and strain it through, and you have yourself a very interesting rendition of a classic daiquiri that most bartenders will probably frown at, but.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of eggnoggy because you said 10 eggs in the milkshake for the flan.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a boozy eggnoggy type of a drink.
Well, our partner, Risa, who is a bartender, she warned me to inform you that it might not look pretty, but it will be delicious.
Right. So you're talking about you're taking the flan, not the milkshake.
Yes.
Yes, which has the 10 eggs in it and
yes,
everything.
Exactly.
That's creative. What does it taste like? I mean, eggs, rum?
No, not eggs. It's more, you're still getting some of the pie, you know, flavor and just a lot of sweetness and richness from the sweetened condensed milk and the custard, basically, that you created to make the flan.
I'm picturing it tasting like eggnog.
Almost. Almost.
And there's like the citrus too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
your palate's going to be.
All right, you got to get. Let's go through. Do you have an Asian store grocery list? Because it sounds like you have a couple of ingredients here that we need to buy at the Asian store. And when I go to the Asian grocery store, I have no idea what I'm buying. I go for like rice and noodles, and then I don't know what else I'm getting.
Well, for our pantry, there are a few essentials when you're cooking Filipino food. There is a condiment called bagong, and that is fermented shrimp paste. It is almost 100% essential just to have as a condiment in your kitchen. It may not be in every recipe, but it's used to finish many, many dishes. Cilantro is my favorite. May not be used everywhere, but I always love adding it. And chili oil and fish sauce, ginger and garlic are just, you know, essentials for making really rounded out.
All right, let's talk about the fish sauce. Some people hear that and they might not be accepting.
Yeah, we're pushers real hard for the, like, for
can
the
you
fish sauce.
Talk to me about the fish sauce.
The fish sauce adds umami. It's like instant salt. You know, in place of salt, we'll probably just use fermented fish sauce.
Like in the same way some people might use soy.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. It's resourceful if you think about why fish sauce exists in the first place. Using what is available. If you think about the Philippines, it's an archipelago surrounded by water. So lots of fish available, lots of fermenting as a way to preserve, as a way to sustain life. So that as a base for a flavor really ties everything together with having a stable Filipino pantry.
So it adds that the salty flavor.
And it's salt and funk, yep. And umami.
funk in a good way.
And it does, it smells more pungent than it actually tastes.
Yes.
So don't shy away from it. Put a little bit at a time. And it'll taste great. The smell might turn you off, but the taste is phenomenal.
I do love sushi, though.
Yeah.
For people that love sushi, is that a good... I mean, I like fish.
It's
different.
It's aggressive. It's definitely a lot more aggressive than sushi.
A lot more aggressive. Okay. All right. Let's talk... Is there anything else that you want to talk about food-wise? Everything else. You like to make tacos.
Oh, I love...
Oh, and rice? You have the catch-all...
The fried rice.
Yes.
The fried rice is the catch-all you were telling me?
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, we make fried rice basically for staff meal a lot because we always have rice and we always have leftovers to put in it. So,
how do you make Thanksgiving leftover Filipino fried rice?
Let's see. I'd take some turkey.
I'm so hungry now. I want Thanksgiving to be over with so I can have the leftover fried rice.
There are probably a lot of vegetables left over, hopefully. Whatever you have. If you have some turkey, chop it up. If you have some vegetables, chop them up. Saute them in a pan a little bit and add some pre-cooked rice. Preferably, you know, day old. It dries out nicely and it gets really nice and crispy.
Better to have day old rice than fresh rice?
For fried rice, that's with our experience, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and the oil and the things you add to it should add more moisture. And definitely make sure you add the bagoong, which is the shrimp paste, and some fish sauce for that funk.
Yeah, so just basically it's a melting pot or a pot, whatever you would call it, a mixed bag of whatever you have left over. Mixed with rice and fish sauce and shrimp paste, and all of a sudden you have a great dish of leftovers, but it's a little more creative than just reheating and serving.
Are you putting any oil or anything in there to give it a little moisture?
A little bit of oil to cook up the vegetables and the turkey. And
so you're cooking that first, throwing in the rice, throwing in the bagoong.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to cook your vegetables and meat first, add the rice. Then add your bagoong and your fish sauce and whatever else you like to flavor it with. I usually go with pretty much the same accompaniments as with the rice porridge. I like to add cilantro and chili oil, finish with a little bit of lime, a little fish sauce. Really just make it really tasty.
Awesome. That's making your mouth water, isn't it, Neil?
Yes.
The Filipino flavors.
I am consumed with hunger.
All right. Before we finish this up, we have to talk about food safety in the kitchen.
Yes.
Because Thanksgiving, the food's been out all day. How long should the food last you? Let's go through some basics.
Right. So, I mean, if you want some longevity out of your Thanksgiving leftovers, you really have to pay attention to how they're being served and how they're being handled during your dinner experience. I wouldn't keep anything out for more than a few hours. Immediately refrigerate, and then when you reheat to a safe temperature above 141 degrees.
Well, let's assume that everybody had a typical Thanksgiving dinner, so stuff was probably not handled
in
the best way.
In that case, good rule of thumb is just a couple days. If it's still around on Sunday, see you later. Yeah.
It's gone. So no more. You don't want to keep that food past Sunday.
No, and honestly, you shouldn't. It's a gluttonous holiday, so let's just get in on it.
How do you know if the food is bad? So what? How many hours can you leave it out safely? How long can you leave it out safely?
How long can you leave it out safely? It shouldn't be in the temperature danger zone for more than 4 hours. Well,
handling it actually.
Cleanliness is key. And just make sure that there's no cross-contamination. You know, have your own serving spoons for meat and sauces and fruits and vegetables. Just keep everything separate and clean and organized. The more you do to prepare, the less you'll have to worry about contaminating afterwards.
Do you need to worry about the family members that reach over just to get that one piece?
Yeah, because those family members usually drop it all over or take a spoon of sauce across the whole table and season everything with that.
Those bad family members. All right. So once everybody goes, how is it supposed to be wrapped up and put away, and any ways that we won't get sick?
As long as it's done in a timely manner.
Because sometimes people want to consolidate. I mean, the turkey is big, lots of vegetables, and they want to, how can you consolidate together? And maybe mom made you a Tupperware, and maybe it's really not, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it not good? Or I don't know. You tell me.
It's as long as everything's in one vessel and you're reheating it to the safe temperature, it's absolutely fine. I'm personally a little bit more, picky about it. So I separate all of my leftovers into individual containers.
So you want it to be in its own thing?
Preferably. That's my approach. Not everybody has the time, but, then again, that's why we're discussing this.
Right. Otherwise, you want to do hots with hots, right?
Yeah.
Don't put the fruit salad next to the turkey.
Absolutely. Things that are going to be reheated, maybe you can consolidate them. But for the most part, yeah, don't put pie with turkey or mashed potatoes with fruits.
You never know, some people.
They can get creative.
Not enough Tupperware's at mom's house and they gotta make do. You've been there before.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else you want to say about food, taking care of your food, keeping safe?
Just have cleanliness and safety in mind and enjoy yourself and,
by Sunday,
have a happy
it's
holiday.
Gone.
Eat it by Sunday. Yeah.
Eat it by Sunday.
Or feed it to the dogs.
Can dogs get sick off of... I guess they could.
I feel like dogs' immune systems are way stronger than ours.
Yeah, it really depends on the dog. My dogs.
Your dogs are sensitive?
No, they're bulletproof. They will eat everything.
They can eat anything.
It's the cleanest floors in Philadelphia.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Thank you,
happy
you too.
All right, once again, we want to reiterate this. If you haven't eaten it by Sunday... get rid of it, right?
Rule of thumb.
You would definitely say for Thanksgiving. Do you ever have stuff that lasts past Sunday?
Nope. I'm feeding everybody every day.
You're feeding everybody. So the host should really be giving away the food.
Of course.
If you don't want to, because you don't want to keep it.
It's a holiday of giving.
Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. And on that, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Chef Mike Scher and Neil Santos are partners at Lalo. It's open at the Bourse 7 days a week. Congratulations. I know you just recently opened. And people can check you out there. And I'm assuming that since it's brand new, you guys are there pretty much 7 days a week.
Yep.
We'll be smiling.
Eat and sleep there. Yep.
Mike and Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.